This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast. This is episode 97, and my name's Adam.
I'm Maya.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And we have every episode's awesome. I was going to say we have an awesome episode planned, but since they're all awesome, we'll just get going with it. So, Maya, what has been going on in the news lately?
Well, we only have one news item this week, but it is an exciting one. The People's Choice Award nominations were announced this week, and Taylor is nominated for Favorite Country Artist. You can go to peopleschoice.com/PCA/vote and vote for her. And also make sure that you watch the People's Choice Awards on January 8th on CBS.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Maya. And congrats to Taylor, of course, on the People's Choice Awards nominations. Diane, can you give us the upcoming calendar, please?
Sure. On November 24th, the 2013 American Music Awards will air live on ABC at 8, 7 Central. Taylor is nominated for 5 awards, so you can vote for her for those awards at ama.votenow.tv, but you can only vote on that website if you're from the United States. If you're an international Swiftie, you can vote via Twitter. Just mention at TaylorSwift13 the award you want to nominate her for and add the hashtag AMAs. So an example of that would be at TaylorSwift13, Artist of the Year, hashtag AMAs. You have until November 15th to vote, which is this Friday, so you guys need to get your last-minute votes in.
And if you're international, don't tell them, because you're not supposed to vote.
They'll never figure it out. And then finally, on December 1st, are the ARIA Awards in Australia. Taylor is nominated for Best International Artist, but you can only vote for her for this category if you live in Australia. So good luck with all the awards, Taylor.
Awesome. Thank you for the calendar, Diane. Everybody keep voting for Taylor for the awards. And just for a random plug here, vote for us in the Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com.
Yeah, and that the voting for those awards also ends this Friday. So this week you have to vote for Taylor in the AMAs and for us in the Podcast Awards.
Podcastawards.com.
Yep.
All right, carrying on to our main discussion, we're going back to a song analysis, but there is a purpose behind this one. We're doing Change, which, yes, I know, it's an old song. I get it.
And Adam doesn't like it.
Thank you for calling me out, Steve.
Well, I know.
It's okay. Although I am not shy about mentioning Taylor songs.
I think we should tell people that. That's a lot of people's like favorite song in the entire universe. I would be careful.
I know, it's a great song.
If I were you.
I have an opinion. It's allowed to differ from other people's. So anyway, this discussion was inspired by Taylor's Pinnacle Award acceptance speech, which we were talking about on the last episode that came out last Thursday, where she said, you guys got up here and you all did this. And I just know that this had to have taken a lot of people to make this decision to give it to me. So to the CMA, to whoever made this choice, you're not only rewarding my hard work and exhaustion, you're rewarding the hard work and exhaustion of my family, my label, and anyone who works with me, and most of all, the fans who fill stadiums.
Woo-hoo!
That's us! Yes!
That's us.
I love you. Not you, Steve. What Taylor was saying to us. Continuing. On behalf of all those people, thank you, thank you. I love you. You made me feel so special right now. Thank you. Now, why does this have to do with Change? Well, Change, just to give you guys the brief background, Taylor started to write when she was signed to Big Machine back in the day and never actually finished it until the CMA gave her her Horizon Award in 2007. So that's why we're talking about it, because it's all interrelated. It all has to do with the CMAs, the inspiration behind this song, which, of course, the CMAs just passed. So getting on with the song.
What is the Horizon Award? Can we hit that real quick? Just because not everyone may know it, you know?
Yes. The Horizon Award is what the New Artist of the Year used to be called.
So that's their version of it then, okay.
That's what Kacey Musgraves won at the CMAs this year.
And I'm sure you were very happy and excited right at that point, Maya.
I was. I love her.
Anyway, so talking about the song, let's just get some first impressions. You guys love it, hate it? What do you like about it? Or don't like?
Well, Adam, we all know you hate it, and I'm not quite with Maya and Steve on this one. While I can see that this is a great song, I'm not, like, super in love with it as you guys are, but don't hate me. I
never said I was in love with it. No way we're assuming that.
Sorry, I just got that impression from the way you guys were talking.
Diane, when you assume, you make an... You make an, you know, a thing out of you and me.
Okay.
The part that ASS spells.
Okay. Well, anyway, sorry.
Did I word that tactfully, Steve?
Partially.
I tried my best.
It could have been better.
Anyway, back to change. So what I was saying is I can see why it's a great song and what it means for Taylor, but it's just, it's not my go-to Taylor Swift song, basically.
I honestly forgot it existed until really? Diane suggested doing an analysis for this episode. So
I think one of the bad things that people say about the song is it's not really a very deep song. It's kind of very, you know, simplistic. But I kind of like it because to me, I seem like I can apply it almost every day. Like, you know, you have something that doesn't go right and you know that things will change, things will get better. Just keep chugging along and try to do a good job at everything that you do. That's what I love about the song. It's me.
So, Maya, you said you're, like, pretty much neutral on the song. You don't love or hate it. So what is your opinion exactly, like, and why?
I think it's a good song. I think it, you know, it represents a time in Taylor's life that was important for her. But, like, it's not a favorite of mine. It's not one that I've, like, easily ever, like, related to or anything. It's just kind of... It's kind of there. I don't know.
Okay. So, Maya, I think we're kind of on the same page with that one, then. We're both kind of neutral.
See, here's an issue for me.
I like it, but I don't love it.
Yeah, like, here's an issue for me with it, is the fact that I like the lyrics. I like the story. You know, we discussed on our one of our Sweeter Than Fiction analyses that it was very similar in theme to that. I think it was our second analysis that we had Eric with us. And, like, so I like that, but there's something about the song, I just don't like listening to it. Is that weird?
Yeah, me too, and I can't quite pinpoint what it is. Steve, do you have
What about the religious overtones of it? Like,
there are?
That doesn't bother me.
Where are the religious overtones?
Well, when she says, like, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Chorus.
Like the whole chorus?
I don't think that necessarily means, like, she's praising God or anything. I just think that kind of means, like, that they're going to be really happy that they finally made it, you know, like,
but they record
celebration,
but they recorded the music video inside a cathedral. Actually, let me throw that out in case for Taylor destinations, the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Indianapolis, Indiana. So if you're ever in the area, hey, that's the one where Change was at.
Awesome, Steve. But let's get to the music video in a few minutes and
we'll
talk about it, Steve. We'll get to the music video. It's always part of the analysis, but
I'm
right
jumping
now,
the gun.
We're just talking
about
the song. What did you say? Sorry.
I'm jumping the gun. That's okay.
You
I'm
are.
Excited. I like this song.
No, we were talking about what Steve believes to be the religious overtones, and Diane didn't really see that. And in my personal opinion, I think Hallelujah, while it may have, like, I guess, sort of religious historical background, that word, and in that way of, I don't know, just her use of it. But I think it's become more of a generic term. It's not really a religious term anymore.
I mean, I think if you want it to mean that she is, you know, that it has some sort of God-centered theme, you can make it out to be like that, but you can also take it and just make it out to be, like, neutral on religion, you know? Like, it can go either way, I think.
But, I mean, here's the other thing, too. We know that Taylor loves Christmas, and if she chooses to have some sort of religious aspect in her song, you know, we all have our rights to believe whatever we want, and... You know, whether or not you relate to it or not, it's just, it's your choice. You know, you don't have to listen to the song if that bothers you, and you can love the song because of it, one way or the other. But I definitely think it's a topic we shouldn't delve too deep into because I don't want to offend anybody.
And plus, I don't think it really matters to the song anyway, so we can...
Well, it depends on how you interpret that word, because really what that word even means is it's used to express praise. So that is kind of right with the song, where it could have nothing to do with religion there, where it's just expressing praise when it's like, hallelujah, I'm successful at this, you know, that kind of thing. So it probably, you know, it's kind of one of those ones that may or may not be related to religion or not, depending on your interpretation.
All right, well, let's, like I said, transition out. I don't want to offend anyone potentially, because, as you know, there are, what are the discussions you're never allowed to discuss in public? Religion and politics?
And money.
Yeah, religion, politics, money. Never discuss those in a public conversation, or you're going to offend somebody. So gotcha. Let's just talk about maybe the overarching theme of the song, which, like I mentioned, and like we mentioned a past episode, I think is very similar to Sweeter Than Fiction, in that it's starting at a low point and ending at a high point. I mean, do we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Totally.
I don't think there is really much to that necessarily. So, in that case,
except it's a first person success sort of thing, instead of, like, you know, in the case of Sweeter Than Fiction, where it's the wife seeing the success of the husband. That's about the only thing that would be different between the two themes.
That's a fair observation, Steve, talking about the perspective, which whose viewpoint it is from.
Right.
I actually like that you caught that, because it didn't occur to me until you said that. So thanks for pointing that one out.
Welcome,
well,
sir.
It's actually first person plural, because she says we've been outnumbered, and she uses we a lot. So I think for Taylor, she wasn't necessarily talking about her, but she was also talking about all the people that worked with her. You know, it's like her whole team.
The impression that I always got was that the song was sort of about her and Scott specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Borchetta, you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. When you said that, because her dad is Scott also.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Scott, her label guy. Well, I mean, also because the secret message is you made things change for me. And that, you know, he was the one.
Right, which I wanted
to
get into
next. Really the beginning of everything. So I think it was a song for the two of them, because she was struggling and he was trying to start this tiny little record label, and like they were both the underdogs together. So
right, and since you brought up the secret message, this song, that's just one more thing about this song that kills me in terms of a song analysis. It's so blatantly obvious. We can't really even discuss the secret message.
You know, there's not a lot of mystery to it.
No, it's not. It's definitely about Scott Borchetta, because, you know, she was quoted as referring back to the CMA Horizon Award, that the inspiration for her to finish this song was when she looked out into the crowd and saw Scott Borchetta in the audience crying. Taylor said, "That's when I finished it, because I knew I couldn't finish it until something like that happened. It was absolutely the most amazing night of my life, getting to see the emotion of all the people who worked so hard for me." And I think that also helps tie it back around to the Pinnacle Award, because that kind of goes back to the same people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just two different points.
Not only the Pinnacle Award, but just think of the CMAs for Big Machine in a whole. I think you were one of the ones that said about, you know, how many awards the Big Machine won for the CMAs, like Florida Georgia Line, they're on the Big Machine label group. Who else was it? Tim McGraw. I mean, he won a couple of awards for his song. He's on, you know, Big Machine. So it was a big night for Big Machine.
Do you know what's an interesting side note about this song, too, that I also want to point out very briefly, not even for discussion? It's just that this is yet another one that people can use when your friends are out there, your Swiftie hater friends that are like, Taylor only writes about breakups, blah, 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 blah. Throw this one at them.
That's a great song choice. Yep.
Yeah, this doesn't have anything to do with love or romance or boys or anything.
No romance.
That was a little ridiculous.
So, Steve, because you brought it up earlier, let's talk music video for a sec. What did you guys think of the video? Because this was Taylor's first video, at least, that was a performance-only video. It had her and her band playing in, what was the cathedral called, Steve?
The Scottish Rite Cathedral, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Right, and it did not have any sort of storyline to it. It had no characters. It was just her and the band playing and dancing and stuff. So what do you guys think of that versus other videos?
Well, I thought it was shot well. I thought it was very pretty, you know, with all the lights, and it was very like sparkly and stuff, but I mean, to me, when I watch a video that's just basically her singing and her band playing. It's kind of like, okay, if you've seen like 15 seconds of it, you've seen it all. Like, yeah, it just seems,
I actually kind of thought she looked a little awkward in this video.
Awkward how?
I don't know. Like, she just, I mean, because she didn't have her guitar, and she was just like, you can't just leave Taylor alone and let her dance. That yeah. doesn't work.
Taylor's such a good dancer, though.
No.
Honey, no.
Not, especially not in 2008.
No, she just standing there, like, flipping her hair around, and it just, Grant's hair is weird, and Amos has some, like, really intense sideburns happening, and, like...
They look so young in the video. That's what I thought was interesting. The band looks young in that video. Not that they look old now, but they look different. Let's go with that.
That's a good one, Steve. I think Grant, the guitarist specifically, looked a lot younger. He didn't have his beard and scruff and all that going back then. He had a baby face.
Well, yeah, and plus they filmed this video 5 years ago, so they are going to look significantly younger.
Holy cow, that feels like forever ago.
Isn't that crazy?
I feel old.
What?
That's half a decade.
I think Taylor was 18 then, right?
Now, I think what makes it a little more interesting is when they aired it on television and they mixed in coverage from the 2008 Olympics, where, of course, this was on the Team USA soundtrack. So I think that adds a little flavor to it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I do know. Yeah, that it fits the Olympic team and any sort of challenges that you may go through very well. So it is a very good song for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a montage going, and they play the song.
Montage!
Montage.
I love montages.
Well, the idea is, the story behind the song is, you know, it's a very powerful story about overcoming
obstacles
and walls in front of you and things like that, and I think the Olympics are the ultimate example of that, because you're an athlete on the highest stage, so I think that is a little bit more interesting. If we can track that down on YouTube, we can probably put that up on the show notes for episode 97. So
cool.
We'll do that if we can find it. Hopefully there should be a version on YouTube, right?
We'll have to look and see.
Probably
you'd think
should
so.
Still be there somewhere.
So getting back into the song itself, do you guys have any favorite lyrics you can pull out of here?
I knew you were gonna ask me that, so I was trying to look at the lyrics ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a favorite lyric or not, but I really like how the song moves from start to finish. Like, at the beginning of the song, she talks about how they feel like, you know, they're down, they haven't won anything, they keep losing, and the same people always win. It's just that same kind of feeling. And then at the end, when they win, which I assume is when she wins the award, like, it's this great, you know, it's like they finally can party. I don't know. I just like how it
party. Stephen Maya, do you guys have anything more insightful than Diane? Because she's kind of slacking on this question.
Oh, yeah.
I thought my comment was good. Why are you being mean?
I thought that was a good comment, too. I don't know. I have difficulty picking out lyrics from... I mean, I guess, I don't know. Like, I kind of am with Diane. I like the end. I like how it changes, but I don't think any of the lyrics in this song are particularly, like, mind-blowing, if I'm going to be honest.
The girls of Taylor Talk are so boring today.
Wow.
Adam!
Jeez.
Battle of the sexes.
Trying to be honest over here.
Dun, 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 dun.
Do you want us to lie? Do you want us to pick, like, we like the time when she says, oh? That word is my favorite.
I love that lyric. Like that lyric says, oh. That lyric is just so deep when Taylor says, oh.
Like the tone in her voice and the power behind it.
Okay. And the joke's dead. Steve, what have you got?
Yes. Well, you know, when I actually, like, sing along with the song, I love all the parts about the walls, you know, getting torn down in that, but like actually reading the lyrics, there's actually one line I really like, and that's the, you can walk away and say you don't need this, but there's something in your eyes saying we can beat this. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, so many times you run into that where it's like, I'm not going to be successful with that, and then you just give up. Like, that is like the give up moment right there. And instead, to actually decide, you know what, we can beat this, and then just go, you know, full bore in it and, you know, get past something. Because that's what people usually do. They hit that wall and they try and they try, and then they're like, I give up. And that's the difference between being successful and not successful right there.
Well, Steve, something interesting that I like about that line as a lyric, the whole, but there's something in your eyes says we can beat this, is it's starting to, in my opinion at least, starts to show the evolution of Taylor. Because if you take the Taylor Swift album and compare it to Red lyrically, the lyrics were a lot more simple back then. And very this true. Is sort of starting to go in that direction of where she has these really complex, very metaphorical, very meaningful lyrics. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the whole song is not all that powerful. It's like very simplistic with the lyrics, but I think that particular line is very powerful.
Right. Now, a line that I also really like, Steve, is towards the end when it says, and the battle was long, it's the fight of our lives. Will we stand up champions tonight? I really like that one because to me, that sums up the story of the entire song and the meaning of the entire song. You know what I mean? It's like
that's like the Cliff's Notes of the song that just sums it up in one line.
That's a good analogy. That's the shortened version. That's where you got like that whole, you know, it's a long road to success, you know, all those cliches you can throw out, anything worth fighting for, you know, I can't even think of them right now. But you know what I'm talking about? The whole...
Absolutely, yep.
Anything worth having is fighting for. There we go. That's mm-hmm. the one I was trying to think of. So, lyrically, that's probably my favorite line in the song. It's the summary. It's the end. The climax of the song. Or isn't that the English word, Diane? The climax of the story?
Yeah.
So overall, guys, like, what would you rank this on a scale of 1 to 13? Anybody go?
Like, okay, in terms of overall, how we liked it.
Overall scoring.
This is hard.
I don't know. Like, it's not my favorite, but I feel like it's like a very important song for Taylor as a person.
Right.
So I'm gonna go like 10, just
10 out of 13,
adding that element of it to it.
What about you, Diane?
I agree with Maya in that it's a very important song for Taylor as a person, but it's hard for me to judge this song knowing how good her songs are now, because I feel like she's gotten so much better in terms of lyrics and, you know, story and all those things. So if I take it back in 2008 when it was originally written, I'm gonna go with like an 11.
An 11?
Yeah.
Steve?
Change would probably be one of my top 10 songs, so I will make it an 11, since that doesn't make sense.
Your top 10 is only an 11 out of 13, Steve?
So is it number 10 on your top 10, or is it like number 2?
Steve is very picky.
Steve is so critical of Taylor's music. My gosh.
That's out of 13. That's pretty darn good. That's
Wait,
like
Steve, okay, so then what's your favorite ever?
I have a couple. Always there's a little place in my heart for State.
Like, what are your 13 out of 13 songs?
Yeah, I'll have to write them up. We'll discuss that on another show. We'll do the top 13 songs.
Sorry, I was just assuming
you
had one favorite. I didn't realize it was
there's a like our song. I love our song. That was actually the song that got me into Taylor. Hey Steven, because
of course,
it says Hey Steven.
That.
Steve, that's cheating to use Hey Steven. Are you giving that a 13 out of 13 because your name's in it?
I like the laugh at the end. That's
okay,
one of my
Adam,
favorite
are
parts.
You saying that if there was a Taylor song that had your name in it, it wouldn't be your favorite?
Hey, Maya, my favorite is Enchanted. Actually, that's my 13 out of 13.
Your name is in the secret message, so you have no argument.
Yep, that's my favorite song now, Enchanted, just because Steve's favorite is Hey Steven.
I didn't say it was my favorite. It's in my that's in my top 10 though.
Okay, that's irrelevant. In terms of this song, like my ranking for it, I like what Diane said about how you have to sort of put it in its time frame and its era, because compared to Red, the songs on Red rather, it's a bit of a weak song, but back then I think it was probably a very strong song in Taylor's lineup, and that's why it probably took her quite a while to write and to finally finish, because she needed to get that inspiration. So Based on that, and based on the fact that I really like the story of it, despite not liking to listen to the song, I'd probably give it a 10 like Maya.
You know what? I got one other little tidbit for this that just kind of just popped in my head as you were talking about it there and thinking of the era. This was actually like one of the first more country rock songs that Taylor released compared to the songs she released before that.
You mean as she was starting to make the crossover?
Yeah, like it's a very good crossover song of hers that is more based in rock than maybe a couple of her other songs that she released previous to that.
You know what? You're right. I can see that.
Do you know what else is interesting, Steve? Speaking, going back, I it's weird. We thought this conversation was over, but it's not.
We have not reached the climax yet.
The conversation has changed.
Oh.
You guys in your puns today. speaking about how it relates to the CMAs, how it was written initially after she won the Horizon Award, and now we're talking about it as a result of the Pinnacle Award, I think this song actually played a hugely important role in Taylor's getting the Pinnacle Award this year, because what could really have set her onto the global stage better than a song that was featured in the Olympics?
Yeah. Well,
that's true.
Very true.
So this song could even quite be the start of what resulted in her getting the Pinnacle Award this year.
Makes sense.
I mean, mind you, that's 100% speculation. I can't back that claim by any fact at all.
Because unless you were an actual member of the CMAs, which you are not.
Well, even so, Steve, even if you were a member of the CMAs, you're not thinking, oh, remember when Taylor did Change back in 2008 and it was the Olympics? That's why she's an international superstar. I mean, it was an evolution. I'm just saying this could have been
so that it wasn't a one revolution, single point. It was an evolution.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. It could have been the one point that initially exposed her on the international stage. And then from there, she continued to grow. And then this year, finally got that Pinnacle Award. The whole international presence is really only a part of the Pinnacle Award. It's not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But it does take a special artist in country music to be world renowned like she is.
Ooh, and that also, Steve.
Wow.
I keep thinking of more things.
He's getting giddy.
The fact that this song is about the point in her life when everything changed too. Mm-hmm. And that also could be the song. It's just an interesting sort of correlation because it's a song about everything in her life finally changing. And it is quite possibly one of the things that made her life change.
Ooh.
That makes sense. Nice. I was kind of rambling there.
It made sense though.
I articulated myself well enough.
So basically, in summary, there's a lot of changes happening, or as a result of this song, a lot of changes happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, before I move on, are we really ready to end this conversation on change? All in favor, say aye.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's get some mini segments. The mini segments, of course, submitted by you guys. Steve is going to give us the first one.
Okay. The first one comes from Celine via email, and it's, you know you're a Swiftie when you randomly send loads of Taylor puns to your friends on Facebook because it makes you happy, and they don't get it.
Speaking of Taylor puns.
Yes, well, we love Taylor puns.
You could do instead, you could tweet us those puns, and we will like it.
Yeah.
Yes, you could that's an excellent idea.
That'd be a good idea. Maya, what's the next one?
Our next one is from Natalia via email, and she said, you know you're a Swiftie when your dad tucks you in every night and he says, have a nice Swiftie dream.
Oh,
that's nice.
You have a nice dad.
Does your dad do that, Diane?
No. Mm-mm. I'm a little old for that.
You're never too old to be tucked in and have nice Swiftie dreams.
I'm 22. Do you get tucked in? I don't think so.
I don't know about you, but I get tucked in at 22.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, this next one comes from Red T. Swift via email, and they say, you know you're Swiftie when your LA teacher's... Oh, your lit teacher, I guess. Language arts teacher. Yeah, I read that and I was like, what? Your language arts teacher says that you can't write about Taylor anymore because you do that so much. This hasn't actually happened to me yet, but I imagine it will soon.
I don't think it'll happen as long as the stories are good stories.
Resist.
Yes.
Which I'm sure they are.
Yes.
Next one. Ooh, another school one. Emily emailed us and said, "You know you're Swiftie when you argue with a teacher at school when they say that Taylor Swift is immature."
Wow.
Really?
Good job.
I hope you won that argument. Like, really?
Really?
No. Bad teacher. Bad.
All right, I got the next one. This one came from Twitter from Evan Holmquist, and it says, "You know you're a Swiftie when you listen to a long episode of Taylor Talk to help you fall asleep on nights you can't sleep." True story.
Are we really that boring?
I was afraid you were going to go there on that, Adam.
I think maybe we're just relaxing.
Right, right.
That's a good thing to be. Yeah.
It's really Steve's deep, manly voice that is just so soothing.
Maybe I need to talk a little deeper. How's that?
That was good.
Steve, you can sing a lullaby.
Okay, our next one is from TayBell1213 on Twitter, and they said, "You know you're a Swiftie when you watched the CMA Awards and cried when Taylor did her speech because you're so proud of her."
I think we all cried when Taylor gave her speech.
A little bit.
Only a little.
I was texting Clara, if anyone remembers when Clara was on the show.
I forgot what episode, but Clara runs Feminist T Swift.
She does.
Account, the fan phenomenon account.
And we were just sitting there texting each other in all caps a lot about how much we were crying. It's fine.
No.
Yeah.
This next one comes from the Tony45 on Twitter. And they say, "If Swifties ruled the world, all movies would have a Taylor Swift music video before and after the trailers."
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't think it's going to happen, but yeah.
That'd be sweet.
All right, and the last one comes from at 5 seconds of Swift, or 5 secs of Swift. Ooh, that sounded bad.
I think say seconds, maybe.
S-E-C-S of Swift on Twitter, who says, "You know you're a Swiftie when you go to America and bring back Taylor supplies because they don't sell it in the UK, sad face." Oh. At least you found somewhere to get it, right? So thank you to everybody who sent in submissions for that mini segment. If you could keep them coming, that would be fantastic. Now, before we get going, we do, of course, have special shout-outs for the people who have been voting for us in the podcast awards and let us know about it. So if you're not on this list and you have been voting, well, let us know you've been voting so we can give you a shout-out as well. Now, the first shout-out is a very, very special one. Big Swiftie herself. For those of you American Idol fans out there, you may remember Pia Toscano, who, I don't remember what season she was on, but she got really, really far and is really, really, really talented. I want to give her a special shout out because she actually helped us and retweeted something for us to help us get some votes and things like that. And she's a really sweet girl and she's a huge Swiftie. And because she's so nice, I want to tell you guys about a show that she has going on really quick, which is a show she's doing with Jared Lee on Stage It. Now, for those who don't know what Stage It is, it's an online show, but it's live. It's not recorded. So if you miss it, you miss it. And there's a donation system and things like that. We're going to link to this at taylortalk.org/episode97. So if you're interested, you can definitely check that out. They have certain prizes for people who donate and things like that. Things like a private Skype session with Pia and Jared and things like that. And it's really, really cool. So thank you to Pia for helping support us in the podcast awards, and definitely go check out her music because she's super, super talented. Very, very talented musician. Now, on to the rest of the shout-outs for you awesome people that voted.
Wait, I have a question.
What?
So, these shout-outs, do you list all the people that have told you they voted this week, or is it people who continue to vote? Like, how many times can people get shout-outs?
I suppose they can keep getting shout-outs. I try and do new people each episode, because if I included the repeats, there would be an endless list.
Okay. I was just wondering in case people wanted to hear their names.
But if people slip through the cracks and I forgot I already gave you a shout-out, you might get a second one. It's possible.
So make sure you vote every day.
Yeah, keep voting every day.
And
so
let us know.
The voters from Twitter, we got @TaylorFan697, thank you. APTX 4869 Justin, Swifty Martha 13, Mexico Needs Red. Yeah, they do. A Swift Fan 13, Lexipedia 09, Audrey underscore Drapow? I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. We got some another last name issue here. At Heidi Swift, so thank you to those of you on Twitter who have been voting and notifying us. Then, of course, we also have some other people. We got Holly, Pete, Sarah, Madison, Beth, Jalen, Beatrice, Sophia, Chantel, Adam, who has a very nice name, I might add.
Is that you?
No, that's not me. That's actually an Adam that listens to the show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Kristen. So, guys, if you want the shout-out and you didn't get one and you've been voting, again, let me know. Those of you who haven't been voting, you have until November 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to go to podcastawards.com and vote for Taylor Talk. We're nominated in both People's Choice and Entertainment, and we would absolutely love you for it because it would be so cool of you, and it'd be a huge win for all of us, including you guys who help us win the award. Just kind of like how Taylor thanked everybody, and her awards are for all of us also.
This would be our pinnacle award.
It would be. Oh. It would be. For those not familiar with the podcast awards, this is the only award show, at least the only one I know of, for podcasts. So it is kind of like the highest honor. To even have been nominated in the first place is a huge honor, and to win is pretty much the highest recognition a podcast can get. So if you guys can help us get there, we'd really, really, really appreciate it. It would be an amazing, amazing thing. And I think, like I said on a past episode, Diane and I are both going to be at the podcast awards in attendance, and if we get the award, I'm going to go on stage and cry, and Diane's going to film it for you guys. So there's your incentive, I guess, if you want to call it incentive. Steve, do you want to see me cry? Are you that
Absolutely.
Mean?
Yeah. That's going to be the best video in the world to share to the world.
All right, Steve, can you give us what Swifties are listening to? Let us know what our Swifties listening to.
Okay. This one came from Twitter via the Tony45, and it says Taylor Talk 13 for what are Swifties listening for? Rochelle Diamante, Queen Bee is the name of the song. Yes.
So have you guys listened? I have not. I need to check that one out.
I actually did listen on this one. I prepared for this episode.
I have not listened to it yet, but tell us what it's
about. Tell us why we should listen to it, Steve.
Advertise. Go.
Okay. Well, from what I got out of it, it was a very... It made me want to kind of dance. I mean, there's a lot of finger snapping going on there. It's kind of...
jazzy.
Jazzy. That's a great word. Yes. It's a very jazzy sort of thing. So I took a look at some of the other videos that she's done because I was not familiar with her at all. And it looks like she's just does a lot of covers on YouTube of all sorts of songs. Like she does Bruno Mars and she does Katy Perry. And like she does like full music videos, like some of them that, you know, she's actually kind of like trying to do what was done in the music videos and such. So
So Queen Bee is an original song at first, though.
I believe. I can't find anywhere else that anybody else did this song, so I think it is original. And the music video is kind of cool because what happens is she's like standing in front of a mirror, and then like a bee lands on her, and I think it's like stings her, and then all of a sudden she like passes out, and then she like wakes up, and like the room has changed, and she's like in a big fancy dress.
It's changed, Steve?
Yes, changed. Not to be confused with change. So then they're just kind of dancing around, and there's, you know, a lot of fun stuff going on. It's a fun video. Like, it kind of got me dancing around. So I'm hoping that maybe she can put some other stuff out. This one looks like it came out, last December. So, you know, I don't think that she's had any other videos.
It's almost a year old.
Yeah, but it is cool. Good and it's worth checking out. So make sure you check out, Rochelle
Diamante.
Yes.
The song Queen Bee, which of course we'll put the video for you guys in the show notes for episode 97 at taylortalk.org/episode97. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Somebody say aw, please.
Aww.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I need you guys for my sound effects support.
That's what we're here for.
Oh, thank you. So remember, guys, there's a ton of ways you can contact us. You can email us to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. You can ask us a question for our Thursday episode on ask.fm/taylortalk13. U.S. and Canada, you can give us a call or leave us a text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. And everybody else in the world, you can go to taylortalk.org, and there's a link on the side that says leave a voicemail, and you can leave us a voicemail there, and your voicemail may or may not, but probably may, be played on the show.
What do you mean may or may not?
Well, they don't all make it. There's quite a few voicemails that have not made it that sound a little bit like this. Oh my gosh, I'm talking to Taylor Swift. Hey, Taylor, hi, I love you so much. Those ones don't make it on.
That's because we're not Taylor Swift, and we don't have access to her, so no.
Right, so for those of you who do leave us a voicemail, take that as a note. If you submit a mini-segment, give us feedback for the show, that'll get your voicemail played on the show. Thinking that we're Taylor Swift probably might not make the cut. Although it might be kind of funny to play one of those one time.
No, they're just confused. I'm pretty sure that the people that leave those voicemails don't listen. Because if they listen, they know we're not Taylor.
Yeah, but it's still funny for me to listen to them. So, anyway, guys, those are the ways you can contact us. If you forgot any of them, visit taylortalk.org/contact, and they're all there for you. And remember, please, please, please cast a vote in the podcast awards at podcastawards.com. You can vote once a day until November 15th, and we would love you for it and give you a big hug when we see you in person, if we ever see you in person.
Yes, and we are nominated for what category is that in?
People's Choice and Entertainment.
So those are the two ones you have to look for.
Yes, please. So, for episode 97 of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast, this has been Adam,
Maya,
Diane,
and Steve.
Saying have a great day, guys, and we will see you all on Thursday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.